take our sin away, and praise the Lord for his cleansing. We'll dismiss our kids to go to class with Mrs. Shore, head to the creche, and the rest of us, please, can take our Bibles and open up to the book of Deuteronomy. And if you need a Bible, there's Bibles in the back. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, and the page number is there in the bulletin for you as well. If you need that, it's page 243. But welcome, Bart and Eden, and glad that you're here with us. Did I get your names correct?
Yes.
All right, very good to have you with us today. And good to have everybody here. And continue to pray for Daniel and Emily, that God will just work things out. They could get out of isolation soon and get back with us. Pray for some of Tommy and Brenda's family as well. This illness is kind of going everywhere, and so just continue to pray for one another. Praise God for the grace that he's given to our church to go through that and get beyond that gradually, and we're getting there, and so praise the Lord for that. Logan got a telescope for Christmas. I think I might have shared that. It's pretty amazing. You know, it brings the moon so much closer to you that you look at it and you just with incredible detail. And so you're looking at the craters and the things that are there, and you know, God's creation is amazing, and I could look at that for a very long time and enjoy seeing that, but I don't want to live there on the moon because there's no life there. I mean, you look at it, it's just kind of gray. You know, it's kind of dead, and it's not alive. And I'll often say to evolutionists about life here on Earth, evolution can't answer the most basic question, and that is, where does life come from? Because scientifically, we know the answer is that life comes from life, right? And that there has to be life for there to be life, and that's the way God made it. God is alive, and God created. God has always existed. He brought this world into existence, and so God's word has the answer. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, okay? And so God did that. He brought life and put it here, and it's amazing, isn't it? We enjoy it every day as we go out here in Scotland. We see plants, we see animals, we see people, you know, and all these things are just the beauty of the landscape that God's given, the insects, the fish, all the different aspects of life, and even the germs and the things that we can't see. It's just amazing what God has done. Now, all life is valuable, but none more so than human life. Right? We're made in the image of God. The Bible says, Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God is the giver of human life, but not like animal life. There is a distinct difference between us and animals. The Bible says the reason for that is God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's why it's human life is not equal to animal life. Now, I admittedly, a lot of times in our humanistic society, they think of animal life as being as valuable as human life. It's very sad to me when you see, as I have seen, you know, somebody lets a hamster go on Arthur's Seat, and I mean, it's major news that somebody would treat an animal like that so inhumanely, but the same angst is not given about the babies that are being killed in their mother's wombs, or human life, the value of human life. But the Bible says in Genesis 9, verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him. So again, human life is incredibly valuable. You might have seen the news story this week in Morocco. There's a boy, and I didn't check the news today to see what's happened, but for the last several days, they've been trying to rescue a five-year-old boy that fell about 100 feet down into a well. And I mean, they have carved away that hillside. He has been okay. They've run the camera down there. They've lowered water and some other things to him. And there are a lot of people praying that they could rescue this boy. And rightly so. Why? Because human life has incredible value. The whole world is focused in on this one life that's there. It just shows the value of human life. And so today, if someone was considering an abortion, we would plead with them to choose life, right? We look at that and say, choose life. I've been praying through a prayer list that was sent to us by some European missionaries, and there was a gal in there that was being encouraged by the doctors to have an abortion. And I've been praying about that, and others have been praying about that, asking for God to give her grace, just to choose to keep that baby. Another missionary woman has a work in the States where she goes into a center that helps kind of a crisis center for women, and encourages, again, those women to choose life. The baby doesn't have to die, we'd argue, and human life is valuable. And so, again, we'd say choose life. If someone was contemplating suicide, we would plead with them to spare their life. I spoke with a man this past week that said he has been suicidal in the past, that he has tried to take his own life, and, you know, praise God, he didn't succeed. But if we were speaking with somebody that was contemplating suicide, we would say to them, look, you don't have to die. You don't have to die. Choose life. And so my message has a simple proposition this morning. You might be able to guess what it is because of what we've been speaking about, but it is choose life. Choose life. Mankind has a choice. They can die in their sin, and this is the ultimate of choosing life. They can die in their sin and go to hell, or they can choose life and receive God's gift of everlasting life. So they have a choice. We urge them to choose life, and life from God is amazing, is it not? What God has done to give us life. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, eternal life. John 6:68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give to eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto him. So again, we would say to all men everywhere, choose life. God wants to give you life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, Romans chapter 10 are our texts this morning, kind of two texts that we're going to look at. And these two texts, they're two great preachers and scripture writers that were used of God to as human instruments to write scripture, urging God's national people, the Jews, to choose life. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. And this is Moses speaking. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. And a couple chapters later, his final words to them, as he's on his deathbed, as it were, though he's fit, he's healthy, God just said to him, this is it, this is the end, you're going to die. He challenges them. The last thing he says to them is choose life. In chapter 32, verse 46, he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing, you shall prolong your days in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain of Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that's over against Jericho. And behold the land of Canaan, look over into Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people. And so right before he's to die, one of the last things he says, it's not vain that I'm speaking to you about this. Hey, choose life. It's your life. Again, 1,500 years later, we've got the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 10. He's going to quote some of Deuteronomy chapter 30, as you'll see. But 1,500 years later, another great Israelite preacher is burdened for the national people of God that they would choose life. And he says in Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, that they might be saved. And he's saying in that context, he's saying choose life, choose life. My burden is that Israel would choose life. You know, again, this morning, you need to choose life. All of us, we want to walk the path that is the path of life. And so what have I chosen to do? What is the decision that I've made? Have I chosen life? Or what will I choose to do? I mean, I've got a choice, don't I? It's not something I have to do, but the Bible would argue with us to say, choose life. David said this, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't know about you. I want to walk down that path. I want to do my best to encourage others to walk down that path. And so let's ask the Spirit of God to help us to find that wonderful path even today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to the Word of God and to these words by Moses, primarily in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and then also with Paul in Romans chapter 10. And Father, I ask that the Spirit of God would turn the light on in our heart through this time, but even right now, Father, we could probably answer the question right now, have I chosen life? Choose life. The life that is ours through Christ, the abundant life, the eternal life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, life. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, life. And so, Father, may this Spirit of God work. That's our desire. Lord, that's what we need. It's only your goodness. Lord, we don't deserve to be able to walk in the path of life. We don't deserve to be able to walk where there's blessing. And so, Father, each one of us, I pray, encourage us and help us. Now, we can't hear without your enablement. I pray that you open our ears. Father, I can't speak without your enablement. I pray that you loose my tongue to speak forth the truth of the Word of God with clarity and truth. And, Father, in a loving way to present the Word of God. In a way that will feed us and that will strengthen us in our walk with God. Now we pray for the children as well in their class. Would you give them grace to attend upon the Word of God without distraction? Bless Mrs. Shora as she guides that time, that they would likewise be blessed. And we thank you for your grace, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, and so choose life, choose life. And first of all, choose life because it is commanded. It's commanded. It says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. This commandment, which I command thee this day, and then he's going to go on to say, hey, choose life. So choosing life is not optional. It's not something that you can say, well, either or is okay. No, it's not okay. You have a choice, but if you choose against it, it is a bad choice. It's a disobedience to God. Some of you know that our family was privileged to purchase a new-to-us car that we got. And it's a 2015. That's the newest car I've ever had. And it's got something called a speed limiter on it. And, you know, speed limiters have been in the news a little bit because with the changes to the highway code, every vehicle that is made after from now on, basically, has to have a speed limiter. So, you know, cruise control makes you go a certain speed. A speed limiter, you set it to keep you from going above a certain speed. And so if you're in an area you don't want to go over the speed limit, you set that speed limiter and it keeps you under that speed limit. You know, speed limits are law. They're not optional. that is the speed limit, okay? So anything above that, it's not optional. I mean, you can look at that and say, well, it's my choice. Well, you could choose not to obey that speed limit, but in choosing that, it's really kind of a bad choice because there's punishment that can be given because you violated that speed. You know, in my evangelism, a lot of times, as I witness to people, they'll say something like, well, you know, to each their own. You know, or I respect your views, and I'm not sure about that, but okay, I respect your views, you respect my views, or you should be tolerant. Okay, and I'll hear things like that all the time, but just kind of imagine with me that, you know, somebody's speeding, the policeman pulls them over, and they say, well, to each their own, to the police officer, you know, I respect your views, you respect my views. My views are I can go as fast as I want, you know, and that's fine, and you should be tolerant, you know, or something like that. We understand that doesn't fly because the law is the law. And so what matters is not the view of the police officer. It doesn't matter the view of the person that was speeding. What matters is what does the law say? What is commanded? And in that sense, it doesn't matter my personal views, what I view or I say, and what somebody else's views or they say about God. But what does matter very much today is what does God say? What is his law? Acts 17, verse 30 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And so you think about the gospel and you desire to see people get saved. You want them to have everlasting life. But the truth is this, that to reject that is to stand in disobedience against God. That's why the Bible says that person, having rejected that, they're not going to be condemned. The Bible says they're condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, right? They've rejected that, and so they're already guilty because they are already violating God's law Romans 10:16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? But that's an interesting statement, isn't it? For they have not obeyed the gospel. I think it's important to understand the gospel is not optional. The gospel is a command. God says, grab hold of the rope. I've thrown you a rope of salvation. Get a hold of that rope. So let's consider the command that God has here. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Okay, and the context is this. They disobeyed the command. Because they disobeyed the command, they're in trouble. And in that position of trouble, Moses is saying, at that point, reflect. And start to think about it and consider your ways and realize that you've gotten off of the path of life. You're in the path of death when God desires you to be in the path of blessing. I can remember in my early teen years, sadly, sitting in the principal's office, and I shouldn't have been there in my early teen years, but I remember very much sitting there, and I think I was in a spirit of contemplation or reflection. And I'm sure I was thinking to myself, why did I do that? Why did I choose death instead of life? Because the principal's not going to kill me, but when I get home, I know my parents said death is in sight, right? Because I didn't choose life. It's a good thing at a time like that to contemplate and start to reflect a little bit and say, why am I in the position that I'm in? The prodigal son, if you know the story, he said to his dad, Dad, I want my inheritance now, and I want it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to go do my thing. And so his dad very graciously gives him his inheritance. He walks out of that house. He goes into a pub. He begins to waste his inheritance with riotous living. His brother accuses him of harlotry later on. The Bible doesn't say, but he had wicked friends that abused him and wasted his substance. The Bible says that he ended up feeding slop to pigs. In Luke 15, verse 16, and the Bible says, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And so as he's there, it's not like home, right? When he was home, he was blessed. That was where life was. But he's gotten out on his own. He's kind of gotten into things he shouldn't have gotten in. It's wasted him. And all of a sudden, he's looking at his life and he's starting to think. He's starting to reflect. He's starting to consider the commands that he had broken. You know, it's not a bad thing for us to have contemplation. It's not a bad thing for us to really examine our life and say, am I in the path of life? Have I obeyed the command, or is what I'm facing because I've not gotten into a position of obedience to God? You know, many people that we're praying for as a church, we're asking God, work in their heart, bring them to saving faith. We know that they're in the path of death. Those that we witness to, that we share the gospel with, we know that they're in the path of death. Why? The Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And payday's coming. It's not maybe next week, and maybe not next year, but there's going to come a day where they're going to stand before God and all that they're going to reap because of what they have done against God is eternity in the lake of fire. We know that as that's the case of the unsaved, but you know, as a believer, we can walk in the path of death. God doesn't want us to. God wants us to walk in the path of life, but we can follow after that, which is death. James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It could be the death of a marriage. It could be the death of a relationship with a child because of sin that crept into that life. It could be death of respect, a death of a position, in so many ways that it could come. But at that point, it's a good thing to reflect on my life and to say, am I off the path of life? And so consider the command, but then turn to follow the command. Contemplate and then repent or turn towards God. It says in verse 2, you stop and you think about it, Israel, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God. Again, like the prodigal son, we ought to wake up and say, I am where the blessing is not. I have got to get back to God. And so the prodigal says in Luke 15, verse 18, as he thinks to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I have sinned. He understands now his life got so bad. Why did it get so bad? Because he got into sin. You know, sometimes you'll be hill walking, and if you enjoy getting out and doing that kind of thing, and you might think to yourself, I'll take this path. Maybe it's a shortcut. If I head that way, I'll get to the car more quickly. But as you're going down that path, it's getting less and less secure. Maybe the path is kind of deteriorating, kind of getting a bad way. You kind of get to a point where you think, man, if I go much further, I might kind of be risking my life. A good thing to do is to stop and to get back to the path where you know you are on the path, right? And just get back to that place where in life you know that, I know that this is right. I know that this honors God. I know that this is a place of life. That's a good thing for us to remember. I get off the path. Where's life at? It's back on the path. Let's get back on the path. That might be getting back to the house of God, joining with the people of God, getting in the Word of God, spending time in prayer, all those things that we know. This is right. This is where it's at. Let's get back to that. Turn towards God. And then turn away from sin. It says in verse 2, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children. Okay, if they're going to get right with God, they got to stop disobeying God and get back to that place of obedience to God. Again, the prodigal, it says about him, Luke 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And he's in the father's embrace. And Dad, I'm so sorry. But what he doesn't have with him is all the ungodly friends and all the ungodly lifestyle saying, hey, we're all going to go back to my father's house. He has set himself aside from all that ungodliness so that he can get back in a position of favor in his family. And the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And in the context of what we're looking at, you think about that. Is that death or is that life? That is death. Somebody could try to hide it. So they try just to keep it. But in keeping it, that's death. But the Bible says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What is that? That's life. And so to get life, what do I have to do? I have to reflect, understand, I got sin, get back to the Father, get rid of the sin, and then turn with all your heart and your soul. It says, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. You know, look at the prodigal son, it was everything. He thought about it hard enough, long enough. He thought, man, that's where it's at. I got to get back to Dad. It was heart and soul desire. In fact, Luke 15, 9, he would come to his father no matter what the terms. He said, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He's so willing to get right with his dad. They said, even if I'm a servant, that's okay. That's okay. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get right with God. You know, that's a great thing. If it's heart and soul, we're willing to come to God and say, okay, God, no matter what, if I got to let go of those friends, if I got to let go of that music, if I got to let go of that lifestyle, it's okay, God. If my life totally changes, that's okay. Heart and soul. God, I want to get right with you. And so choose life. It's commanded. And then secondly, choose life. It is close. It's close. There's a metal detectorist in the news this past week as well, Michael Mallory, 52 years old. And The Guardian said this about him. A metal detectorist who gave up his hobby when he started a family, only to return to it when his children were old enough to nag him into taking them out detecting with him, has been rewarded with one of the most extraordinary finds, a fine example of England's oldest gold coin, which was sold, I think this past week or in the last fortnight, for a record-breaking £648,000 at auction. Now, think about it. You could be walking along. It's kind of horrible to think about, but if you're out in a field walking along, you could walk over that and not even know it. That's horrible to think about, isn't it? I mean, how many people passed within 10 feet of that coin? And it's kind of like, man, if you only knew. I'm glad we don't know. Sometimes we've gone out to the Lead Hills. It's a lot of minerals and things. There's also gold that's there. Some gold nuggets have been found in the Lead Hills, just about 45 minutes away, an hour away. The gold in Scotland is 5 times purer than gold found elsewhere, so it's 5 times more valuable, apparently. And you know, again, those things are there. You don't know they're there. It's kind of a good thing. Now, if somebody gave you a map, and you had a map that said it was there, and you're like, whatever, you know. And somebody had a map to that gold coin, and they didn't trust it. They're going to feel really badly when they find out how close they were to it, and yet they didn't get it. You know, today, as we speak about this, choose life, it's close. Incredible treasure. The abundant life, the eternal life, the everlasting life, the life that has a clear conscience, is able to set its head on its pillow at night and know for sure that if they die, they spend eternity with God. It's so close, and God's given us a map. It's there. It's not distant. It's not something that's far away. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's right here, Deuteronomy 30, verse 12. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Now, a parent that is going to go away and leave their child with a sitter might say to them something like this: look, death and life are I'm setting before you right now. If you disobey, death. If you obey, life. Now say it back to me. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Do it. See, what he's saying is you've got it. You've got all the information that you need to have success here. And so it is close. You don't have to take a long trip, go anywhere. It is present, and you can do it. Now, here's the map. It's right here. The Christian News said this, 5th of November, 2019. It said, the Bible Society surveyed nearly 20,000 people in what is thought to be the largest review of faith, values, and attitudes to the Bible in England and Wales. Okay, so they did a religious survey. It said this, or this was the title: just 18% of Brits say Bible relevant to them personally. Wow. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And they look at this Bible and say, that's not relevant. But that's the map. Now, England and Wales are way beyond us spiritually. Scotland is far more atheistic, far more liberal, humanistic, post-Christian. And to think today they've got it. It's so close. It's so close. You know, in the past, it's been maybe even closer in that people could just answer the question very easily, what we're going to consider next. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. Life is found by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, in Romans chapter 10 passage that we're talking about, he said it this way as he quotes Deuteronomy 30. He applies it to the gospel. He says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Okay, he's already come. He's incarnate. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. He's already resurrected. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And Paul says righteousness is by faith. Salvation is by faith. It's not by works. It's not by climbing some mountain. It's not by being some great religious person. It's by faith in what? What Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross, that he paid the price for our sin, that he didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose from the dead, and that we personally putting our faith in him could have God's gift of everlasting life. It's so close, because the answer to life is Jesus. You know, do you remember the old days? Some people call them the good old days, before GPS, when you had an map to get you where you needed to go, right? To direct you there. And I mean, there are a lot of arguments taking place and things. And then you got the next step up was the computer generated printouts that we had, you know, like 5 pages long. If you're on a trip, turn here, you know, it's like got a paragraph for each turn describing it and what's coming up next. Now we have built-in sat-navs and amazing GPS coordinates that identify exactly where you're at. You know, in Moses' day, they had the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. They had this text that we're looking at where God is saying to them, look, it's right there. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. But then coming up to our day, it's so advanced. They didn't know the name Jesus. They didn't know about the crucifixion. They didn't know that he didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose from the dead, that salvation is by faith in Christ. Now they knew that salvation was by faith in God's revelation. They had the gospel, and it was a gospel that is the same. They put their faith in the coming Messiah. We put our faith in the Messiah who came. But it's so close. I mean, who doesn't in our day have a Bible or, you know, our access to a Bible? We've got abundance. And so choose life. It's close. And then choose life. It's clear. It's clear. You know, I like instructions that are simple and clear. I don't like fine print. Do you like fine print? You know, the big sign, you see it in the window, you're driving past, 80% off everything. And then the fine print, the two little words right in front of that, up to. You know, I mean, it's like, it's misleading. You know, just, you know, I don't want to have to read the fine print. You get a mailer in the mail and it says, you know, you've won a new car. And then it says terms and conditions apply. You know, you got to have a February birthday, third born, left-handed, you know. You got to meet all the conditions. God's word's not like that. God doesn't have this morning, praise God, any fine print. He doesn't have terms and conditions. And so let's consider the simplicity of this command. And it is this, love God. Love God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. It says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. You know, again, with regard to commands, it's interesting that we are commanded to love God, but let me point out that love is both affection and obedience. Love is both our heart's desire, like I want to obey, and it is obeying that person that's in authority. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, it's an easy thing if I love somebody to do something for them. Consider we got Valentine's Day coming up, and Ambassador Baptist, where Kaylee is, they enjoyed their Valentine's banquet last night, and she enjoyed going to that. But you think about young love, and you know that man that's trying to please his sweetheart. He might say something like this: "Your wish is my command," right? And he means it. You name it, you've got it. Or whatever pleases you, my love. But you have a man that say he's been married a long time, so maybe several decades, and you know, the wife says, you know, I've got this to do. You know, I don't think that the first words out of his mouth are necessarily going to be, well, Tommy thinks so, and good, Brenda, verify that after the service, but it's not necessarily going to be, you know, whatever you need. But I would say this, that we ought to look at that and say, you know what, maybe I need to kind of rekindle that affection where when my wife asks me to do something, I look at that and say, yes, because I love you and I want to meet your needs and I want to help you. And that can gauge my affection if I'm a willing servant to help her out when she needs it. You know, with that gauge, how's your affection for God? How do we really love God today? Are we really affectionate to God today? If the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, we spoke about this, the Spirit of God on Wednesday night, that he's a person, that he's active, that he comes and he's the one that takes the Word of God and applies it to our heart and says, yes, this is for you. This is what you need. How quick are we to say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Mark 12, verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And so again, we're saying choose life. It's clear. It's kind of simple. Love God. Love God. Secondly, walk after God. Walk after God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 16 says to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Again, it's very clear that you're to walk in that path of righteousness. Whatever God said to do, they were to do it. He was their guide and their authority. Again, with young love, she might say, follow me, and he'll say something like, to the ends of the earth, you know, or something like that. Wherever you go, I'll go. And the great person that said that, of course, is Ruth in Ruth 1:16. To Naomi, her mother-in-law, out of love for her and her people and her God, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And Ruth's heart was that, I am going to follow you no matter where you go, because I am committed to that. And we ought to be able to say to God today, God, I love you. Wherever you go, that's where I want to go. I want to walk down that path, God, that you're walking down. Last Sunday night, we sung the chorus, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And if you think about that song, you're saying to God, God, okay, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Well, did Jesus lead you to listen to rock music? Did Jesus lead you to lust after something? Did Jesus lead you to covetousness and materialism? Did Jesus lead you to laziness? Did Jesus lead you to gossip? Did Jesus lead you to whatever other things that might creep into my life where I'm walking down the path of death instead of down the path of life? Because in actuality, I am not following God. And so for me, I got to examine that. It's clear what this command is. It is love God, follow God. And if I'll do that, then I'm walking in the path of life and receiving his blessing. Verse 16, it says, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. All right? Again, very clear. Love God. Keep his commandments. Why? Because that's where the blessing is. That's where the life is that Moses is speaking about. That's where the life is. Love God and keep his commandments. Jesus said it this way, John 15, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If I'm abiding in the love of God, am I living on the path of life? Absolutely. That's where it's at. But I gotta go back to the first two things. Am I loving God? And am I following God? Dr. Tom Johnson, Katie knew him a little bit growing up. I think he was out of her area in Michigan. But Dr. Tom Johnson was a medical doctor that when the tsunami hit Sri Lanka back, I think I'm talking 2006, 2007, somewhere in there, they took a medical mission team into that country. And it's incredible. We could forget, and I've got the number here, 230,000 died in that. And so, of course, when they get there, they're helping people, but they're also giving them the gospel because that's what they need. And so they're evangelizing them, but some Muslims heard about that, got upset about that, and a Muslim mob surrounded their car, was violently shaking their car, and Dr. Tom Johnson said, he thought to himself, this could be it. And as he's sitting there, he thought of the verse, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He's a godly man. He's serving God. But he said, I had to stop and think, do I really fear God? Because his life depended on it. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Then he says, it's a neat story. It's a lot larger story than that. But he said, some angels in commando gear got around the car and literally, it was almost supernatural. He doesn't know exactly who these men were. But one of them jumped in, got them out of there, and rescued them. Incredible story. But for us, if we want to walk in life, we can't just go, well, I love God, and I'm following God's commands. We got to stop and really think about it. and consider that, is it genuine or not, that I'm doing this? Because why? Because if my life is messed up, my first thought ought to be, did I get off the path? Is there something in my life that isn't right with God? Because, I mean, now I'll say this. Can a believer go through a trial? Absolutely. Read the book of Job. But in that trial, they've got grace, they've got strength, they've got comfort, they've got guidance, they've got wisdom, right? They've got everything. And so, in a sense, a believer can go through a great trial with incredible grace, and that's life. And beyond that, if they die, they've got everlasting life. But am I walking in that place of life? And so choose life. It's clear, it's close, it's commanded. Two more points here this morning, and they're shorter points. Choose life, it's consequential. Choose life, it's consequential. Certain decisions in life have big ramifications, right? Have you ever looked at your life and thought, man, that was a turning point? For me, when I went to college, I didn't want to go to college. I didn't want to go to a big college. And my mom and dad said, you're going to Bob Jones. Bob Jones had 5,000 students. And, you know, it's kind of a larger Christian college. I didn't really want to go there. But, you know, I went there. I met my wife there. It was there that God called me to preach, or through that, God called me to preach at the Wilds. I ended up at the Wilds because of that. It was through that, and there in particular, that God called me to church planting, the reason that we're in Scotland. It all took place a long time ago, back there at Bob Jones. I mean, it was very consequential, that decision. I didn't realize how consequential it was about where I would go to college. The decision that we're talking about today impacts not just life, but it impacts eternity. It impacts not just my life, it impacts the life of my family. It doesn't just impact my life, it impacts the life of my community, my neighbors, my friends. It has ramifications far beyond just anything else. This is the most important decision somebody can make, but if you reject it, the consequences are equally large. Deuteronomy 30, verse 17 says, but if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And he's saying to them, choose life, choose life, choose life. But if you're going to close your ears, you're going to plug your ears to this, then you're going to end up in idolatry. Your heart's going to be far away from God, and you will surely perish off the good land that God desired you to be on. You know, I meet people all the time. I'm witnessing to them, telling them about the gospel. And they say things like, I'll find out when I get there, or I'll be in the grave. And no, very sadly, the truth is the same as what we're considering this morning. That is this, that they shall surely perish. I met a man like that recently in Church of Scotland, minister's son. And he said, well, I believe science. I believe science. Well, I looked at him and I said to him, look, if your dad knows his Bible, then your dad is burdened for you because he knows this. If you die, you'll spend eternity in hell. And he says to me, he goes, and he was, he said it gently. I don't know that I could say it like him. He said, your tone of voice is beginning to bother me, and now I'm having bad thoughts about you. And I'm thinking about that. I'm processing that. And let me say, I know my heart because I'm a pastor's kid, and my parents always had a big burden for pastor's kids. My kids are pastor's kids. I've got a burden for pastor's kids. So I'll say this. I said what I said to him, I know, out of compassion. He said that. And I said to him, I said, look, if you knew somebody was going to walk into a burning building, you would scream at them not to go in there. And that's true. And see, the truth is today, we know that somebody that dies without Christ will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, somebody could be in a burning building and they can escape, but somebody in hell will never escape. The Bible says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Nobody gets to die a second time. Nobody gets to come back and say, well, I really wish that I made a different decision. Look, I would get on my hands and knees. I don't know. I said to one lady one time, and she was one of these richer, older ladies there in Edinburgh. I said, I would give £1,000 to see you get saved. She goes, I don't want your money. I said, you know, the thing is, Jesus Christ gave his life. He gave his life. I would do anything I can, but he did everything he could. Choose life. Why? Because without Christ, you'll surely perish. You know, the good news is this. You don't have to perish. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's consequential. Choose life. I mean, it's offered by God. I mean, God is there saying, I will give you life. I will give you life. I want you to live. Choose life. Because to not choose life is to choose death and to perish in hell. Choose life. It's consequential. It's clear. It's close. It's commanded. Last thing. Choose life. It's common sense. It's common sense. Common sense means this. Good sense and sound judgment in practical matters. I know of a grandchild that got the keys to grandma's car and went out to grandma's car and started it and put it in gear and drove that car right into the porch, you know, of the house, wrecking part of the house, destroying the car. And I would just say this, and I'm sure it's a lovely child, but that child doesn't have what? Common sense. And certainly, and you might say, well, the child was so young, and maybe that's the case, they were too young, but any older child would know this: if the accident doesn't kill me, grandma's going to kill me, so I'm not going to get in the car, I'm not going to do that. It's common sense that you don't go down that path. You know, choosing life ought not really be a choice. Even on the lowest grounds of self-preservation, your soul should be crying out to you to live, right? Live. And so common sense says, choose life. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And by the way, Moses is just making it very clear. This is what this is about. Life, blessing, death, cursing. It's like Joshua, choose you this day whom you serve, whether God or whatever. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? Because Joshua's like, I'm going to choose life. But that's what it is. Common sense says, choose life. Therefore, choose life, that both thou, and notice this, and thy seed. I will say this, my choice impacts others. So fine, I don't care if I go to hell. What about all the people that are going to go to hell because you go to hell? Right? Choose life. It's common sense. I got saved after hearing my dad preach a message on hell. I've shared my testimony many times in our church. But you know, even as a five-year-old boy sitting there hearing my dad preach a message on hell, I had the common sense to say, man, I don't want to die and go to hell. And even on that low ground of just common sense, looking at it, go, why would anybody choose to perish? Satan's a deceiver. If he can trick us into somehow, you know, living life in sin or living life against God when we can have an abundant life, choose life. Choose life. Common sense says to. And then common sense says, love God. Love God. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Love God. Common sense. My parents are in their 70s. My dad's 76. My mom just turned 70. And you know what? They're in Des Moines, Iowa. I didn't move to Scotland to get away from them, all right? I love my parents. I'm so thankful that they provided for me. I'm so thankful that they gave me life. I'm so thankful that they direct me, guide me, comfort me, encourage me. I mean, everything that I could desire in parents, God's given me in my parents. I thank God for them. It's natural for me to love them. The Bible says this about those that don't love their parents. They're without natural affection. It is normal. It is common sense to love those that have loved you and given so much to you. Can I say this? It is normal for us to look at God and say, God, you gave me life. God, you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. God, thank you. I love you. And that's what Moses is saying, choose life. Why? Because that's obedience to God, and you ought to love God. That's common sense to love God. His offer is so grand, it's offered to all men. Going back to Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The only reason somebody can't go to hell or go to heaven is because they're walking down the path of hell in disobedience against God. They need to get on the path of life, repent of that lifestyle and that sin that cannot enter into heaven, receive God's gift of forgiveness, and that is received by faith. By faith. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what's required. I can't go to heaven without that. It's given to me as a gift when I put my trust in Jesus Christ. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I could walk into the prisons. I could walk into the pubs. I could walk up to prostitutes. I could say, you could be saved. You can have Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll forgive you of your sin. You got to repent of your sin. Put your faith in Jesus. Jesus will take it away. He'll cleanse you completely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now think about this. We're talking about life. You know, as I read through the scripture, I got to chapter 32. I've already quoted it to you. But in Deuteronomy 32, verse 47, it says, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it's your life. And Moses is there, and he's saying, look, come on, Israel, I'm going to get off the scene. Choose life. It's not vain that I'm saying this to you. It is your life. And it's kind of like this. I'm not talking about your dog. I'm not talking about your job. I'm not talking about your hobbies. Israel, I'm speaking to you about your life. Now, I can knock on somebody's door. They may be upset. You know, why is this guy bothering me Saturday morning? Why is he knocking on my door, trying to shove religious things down my throat? Somebody could get upset. We put a flyer through the door, the gospel. You know, the gospel flyer. Ah, I hate this, you know, whatever. But realize this, the way they respond to the gospel is the way they are treating their soul. If they tear it up, throw it away, that's how they're treating it, because that's their life. You get it? I mean, that's how valuable what this is. This is about their life. It is not vain. You want to bend it? Okay, you're bending your life. You want to close your ears to it? That's fine. You're ignoring your life. And so God says, this is vital. It's vital. And so we say today to that person like that, choose life. Choose life. It's commanded. If you're rejecting it, you're disobeying God. There's punishment for that. It's close. You've got the treasure map. It's right here. I mean, incredible treasure to be had. Jesus Christ. It's clear. Love God. Walk after his commands. That's where the blessing is. It's consequential. You make a decision. It's either death or life. It's common sense. It's common sense. I watched a video of a man that was suicidal. He's standing on a bridge and he's about ready to jump. They got some rescue workers there, really not properly prepared to rescue this man. And as he leaps from the bridge, he is a suicidal man. But when he hits the water, he's a man that's drowning and wants to live. And he's fighting for his life, fighting for his life. And there was a lifeguard that was there on the shore. He takes his clothes off. He dives in. He swims out there. He goes 10, 11 feet down into the murky waters, brings this guy up off the base of the river, takes him to the side, but the man dies. And you think about that, and you think, you know what? He was suicidal. He didn't care. He didn't care about life. He didn't care about life, but when it came to it, guess what? He cared. And somebody could say today, hey, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. But there's going to come a day where, look, they're going to stand, and they're going to care. And so we, again, just say, choose life. Choose life. Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God awaken our hearts today. Lord, if somebody's not saved, then I pray that they would make that decision to put their trust in Jesus Christ and to receive God's gift of everlasting life. Father, I want to remind us that as believers, we could be walking down a path that is not the path of life. It's the path of death. It's the path of destruction. It's the path of an early termination of our marriage, an early termination of our relationship with our children, an early termination with liberty as we end up in jail, or things like that. Lord, sin has consequences. And Father, where it's at today is loving God and walking after God. And Father, if we've gotten off the path, just give us the grace to realize, you know, I'm just going to get back to where I know it's at, in church, in the Word of God, in prayer, getting rid of sin, and get back on the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. If we're not on that path, I pray, reveal it right now. And Father, may we repent and get right with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll stand and sing a hymn of invitation. Here we'll sing three verses of Jesus, I Come. All right, 334. Just three verses.